I think there are times in all of our lives where we have disqualified ourselves from being used by God because of either our current sin or our past sin. And somehow we think that that disqualifies us from God using us in the present or even in the future. Today, we're going to learn about a woman in scripture, Rahab, who was used mightily by God in a variety of ways. And he redeemed that sin in her life and he made a difference for her. And if he makes a difference for her, we know he can make the difference for us. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's Word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl. Today we're continuing our devotional Bible study reading on the women of the Old Testament with Rahab, one of the favorites that you probably are aware of her story. And I just want to remind you, if you're just joining us, we are going through the Old Testament book by book and pulling out some of the women and sharing their stories and what we can learn from them and what it teaches us about God's character and God's nature. I also want to let you know that in case you want to dive a little bit deeper, I do have some additional resources for you. On our Patreon page, which starts at just $5 a month, you can get ad-free episodes and journaling prompts for each episode. The journaling prompts for me are incredibly helpful because it helps me get this information from my head into my heart. It helps me kind of process what I'm learning, thinking through it. You can even use it as a discussion guide to talk through it maybe with your spouse or with your kids. It's just a really helpful extra resource. And then, of course, there's other bonus content on there as well. You can look at our show notes for the link to our Patreon page. And so we're going to be in Joshua chapter 2, and we're talking about Rahab, and I'm starting at the very beginning. It says, "Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. 'Go look over the land,' he said, 'especially Jericho.' So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, 'Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land.' So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, 'Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land.' But the women had taken the two men and hidden them. They said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly, you may catch up to them.' But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies laid down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the Sihon and the Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless we enter the land. You have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house, if any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on your head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days, until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." So this is one of those stories that if you grew up in church, you probably knew from Sunday school way back when. But just as a quick refresher, there's a couple points I want to make and point out who we're talking about. So Joshua, this is in the book of Joshua. Remember, he is basically the assistant to Moses while he led the people in the wilderness. God had basically hand-selected Joshua to lead the Israelites after Moses died. Rahab is a prostitute who lives inside the city of Jericho. And remember the story of how the Jericho walls came crashing down after they had marched around the city 7 times? This is the location that we're talking about. And her house was built, it said it was built into the wall. Basically, the wall that surrounded Jericho, part of that wall was one of the walls of her house. That was really common. Sometimes there would even be 2 walls and they would have houses inside the division of those walls. And then the 2 spies. Joshua selected 2 spies to go in and scope out the land. And so he sends them over the Jordan River to scout the territory, especially the city of Jericho. And so once they enter into Jericho, the spies immediately go into the house of the prostitute Rahab, and they spend the night there. And that may seem shady at first, but let's think about this within the context of the culture. Because remember, while scripture was written for us, it was not originally written to us. It was written at an ancient time to an ancient people group, and the way they did things was just culturally different. So at that time in history, brothels, or places where the prostitutes lived, that would be a place where you would go if you wanted to find out all the town secrets, because the prostitutes were basically the secret keepers in every single town. So everything that was said inside of a brothel or a house of a prostitute stayed inside those 4 walls. So logically, if these spies of Israel wanted to stay hidden but also gather information, the brothel is the perfect place to do that. Now, I don't know if you've ever been inside of a brothel, and hopefully not, but I have. And the reason for that is because, especially in other countries, if you're doing anti-trafficking ministry, you pretty much start at the brothel. The brothel is where it's almost, especially for people that are living in poverty, it's where in other countries, a lot of the center of the town takes place. And so a lot of the political leaders will be at the brothel, or a lot of the just social leaders will be at the brothel. So if you want to make an impact and an influence, you do it at the brothel. And I've seen this firsthand, because what will happen, and it's happened several times in some of the African countries I worked in, where you will go and we'll start off at the brothel and we will be ministering to the girls. But I saw it happen one time where one of the brothel owners, he ended up getting saved. And not only did he get saved, he shut down the brothel. They were no longer doing prostitution. It actually became a church, and now he's the pastor. And so it's this beautiful picture of redemption that happened inside of a brothel. But if you've never been inside one, it is a really dark, spiritually dark, emotionally dark, hard place to be. And so it's not that these men of God necessarily were trying to seek out a prostitute. They were trying to go to the place in that culture where they could gather the most information, but also not be found out. Because the other thing is, people that are inside of a brothel don't really want anybody else knowing that they were there. So they don't narc on you, and you keep your mouth shut on them. That's pretty much the cultural standard. Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the Signature Five Lakes Blend and Chris's Blend, because for Chris's Blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code Hearing Jesus. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code Hearing Jesus for 20% off your first order.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Regardless of all of that, the king of Jericho gets wind of the fact that there are spies on his turf, and he orders Rahab to surrender the spies. Now, we don't know exactly how that happened, because that wasn't typical. Somebody blabbed their mouth, and the brothel ended up being not as safe as originally thought. They didn't think that was going to happen, but it happened. I mean, nothing, especially when you're dealing with seedy individuals that would visit a brothel, and nothing's ever a guarantee, but it was their best chance, I guess you could say. And so Rahab makes a decision to hide these Israelite spies on the roof, and that was a pretty clever move on her part. And so she explains that they were there, but then they're gone and they had fled. And so the soldiers go off and they're in search of these Israelite spies. And Rahab goes back up to the roof and she cuts a deal with these two spies. And she basically explains that everybody in town is literally melting in fear because they've heard that they're coming. They heard that God is with them. Their reputation and the miraculous power and God's provision has preceded them to the point where people know that they're coming and they're trembling in fear. And because of what was done by Moses to the Egyptians, as well as the Red Sea parting, word traveled fast, faster than you might think in the ancient times. And these people already knew what was happening. So Rahab had heard about the God of Israel, and she made the decision to believe what was happening. And so Rahab then swears that she's going to be loyal to Israel, but she wants the protection of her family. And so it turns out, even though she was a prostitute, she had a deep affection for her family and she was trying to protect them. And so these Israelite spies say, okay, we're going to make this deal. We're not going to hurt your family on one condition. And isn't there always a condition? The condition is she has to tie a crimson red cord in the window on the day of the invasion. Otherwise, they're not going to know who to protect. And so they're going to make sure that whoever is inside that house, the house that has that red cord tied on the window, is going to be protected. And so in this kind of like spy conversation, they make this deal. They scale down this wall of Jericho, which is part of her house, and they come down this crimson cord, and they understand that they have this mutual understanding between the two of them. And so Rahab, she doesn't want to take any chances. She just leaves the cord right where it is. And so the Israelite spies report back to Joshua, and they tell basically everything that has happened up until this point. Now, I want to jump ahead to Joshua chapter 6, starting at verse 17, so we can read what happens. It says, "The city and all that is in it are devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lived among the Israelites to this day. So Rahab's story is one that it's action-packed. I mean, they could make a movie about it. Maybe they even have. I'm not sure. But if we think about what this means, so after the spies have made this pact with her, they surround the city. They go around the city seven times. And that seventh day, this city walls fall down. And because she had acted faithfully and she had feared God, she was spared. But everybody else, and her family was spared, but everybody else in the city were destroyed. And we think about how her act of faith translated into her family being spared. Because the people of Jericho, they had heard of the Israelites just like she had. She had heard about it. Other people there had heard about it. And Rahab told the spies, "When we heard it, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." That's from the NASB version. That's Joshua 2:11. So even though the people of her city had heard the same news about the Israelites, the same stuff she had heard, she was the only one that we know of who made the choice to hope and believe in Yahweh, in God. And so even though she didn't know God very well, she knew enough to make the choice to trust him, and her faith then gets translated almost immediately into action. I love the story of Rahab because it helps us understand that it's never too late to honor God with your life. There is no past that is too big that will keep God from using you in your present or in your future. I think, and I said this at the onset of today's show, I think for so many of us, because we have sin in our past or even our present, we think that it disqualifies us from God using us. Really, what is the turning point? The turning point is she believes in God and then she allows her faith turn into action. See, God knew we were going to mess up. God knew we were sinners. That's why he sent Jesus, because he knew that we were going to need this rescue plan from this fallen world that we live in. And the reality is the Bible is full of stories of sinful women, sinful people, realizing that they need God. And then he uses them in incredible ways, broken, hurting, sinful, fallen people. Because you have to remember, when we read these Bible stories, the people are not the heroes in the story. God is the hero in the story. The only reason they're even remembered as heroes is because what God did in their lives. And Rahab is a perfect example of that. Did you know that Rahab became really important in the history of Israel? In fact, she became the mother of Boaz, who is the guy that is featured in the book of Ruth, which we're going to study in a different episode. She was also the great-great-grandmother of King David, you know, the guy that wrote all the Psalms. She's also, which means she's also in the lineage of Jesus. She's also the only other woman besides Sarah that is mentioned in the Hall of Faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:31 says, "By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." So she is remembered in the Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews 11. In James chapter 2, she's mentioned. It says, verse 20, "You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." I love that we see Rahab mentioned in both the Old Testament and, of course, the New Testament. What is the takeaway for us then? Well, I think the takeaway is that if your past is filled with sin, it does not disqualify you from honoring God with the future that you have. Scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Except for Jesus, every single person in the Bible sinned. Except for Jesus, every single person you know, including yourself, has sinned. Every one of us has sinned, but the past and the sin of our past does not disqualify us from God's version of our future. I think that's really important for us to remember, because the enemy would try to have us believe the opposite. The enemy would try to have us believe that your sin is too much for God to use you. Friend, I want to tell you right now that we serve a God of not just second chances or third chances, but 70 times 7, which is a metaphor. It is unending. And that's not permission to keep sinning. But what it is a call to have your faith meet action, and to step out in faith in those moments that you know that God is calling you to, because in those moments, the reality of his presence and his purpose come in and they supersede that pain. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the example of Rahab and how her faith was translated into action. And even though she didn't quite know you, she knew about you. She had heard about you, and she made the decision to act in faith. God, help us to be people of faith the way that Rahab was, and realize that even despite her sin and her mess, that you used her in the lineage of Jesus. God, that's such an incredible aspect to her story. God, help us not to forget that. Help us not to forget that you are a God that redeems and restores all things, that you knew that we were going to mess up. That's why you sent Jesus in the first place. God, I thank you and I praise you for the way that you continue to reveal yourself to us through your word. I thank you for the treasure that it is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page, where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.